Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or if you're like us living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high resolution camera that connects to an app so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is brought to you by Super Lucky and Generate Life Sciences. We're very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility. We really are.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
We sure are.
Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Robin. Hi, listeners. Welcome back to our ovaries.
Episode 3, season 7. How are we doing?
Wow.
Can you believe we have 7 seasons of this podcast, Jamie? What happened?
No. I said it the other day to someone when I was blubbering through trying to explain what my podcast was.
Oh, God. Jamie can never explain our podcast.
Which is ridiculous.
Really, but not hard.
But I was shocked when I said season 7. Even I was taken aback.
Because it's all new for you. You're like, you know how they say, like, you know that Ani DeFranco song where she talks about the glass castle?
The plastic castle.
Yeah. It's a surprise every time. That's like working with Jamie. She's like, really? And I'm like, Jamie, we talked about this literally yesterday. Really? Oh, I don't remember, but I believe you. Thank God you don't get all like, I don't think that happened, because we couldn't work together. At least you're like, I believe you.
No, I believe, I know I forget everything. I know, I just forget things.
So let's talk about our first little news item. We got an email from an amazing listener named Kate from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And she also emailed, she said, what'd she say, Jamie?
I mean, she was a winner in my book from the get-go. If you want to be on our good side, all you have to do is say something like she said, which was, I think she said, hi, ladies. Hi, Robin and Jamie. Helen doesn't get a hello.
I know, we were like, oh my God, that's hilarious. I was like, baby, somebody emailed us and talked about Helen. And my wife's always like, yeah, okay.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares
baby,
about us. I,
baby.
I said it to Anne too, and Anne was like, oh, that's cute.
Oh. Anyway, well, so Kate was emailing us and about her story because she's, you know, making babies in New Zealand. And she was like, we were talking to her about being on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we had an appointment set up, and then she was like, you know what? It's my kid's story to tell. It's not my story. And I thought that was such an interesting point. I mean, of course we respect that. We were like, you know, sad, but of course we get that.
Of course it is. It's your child's story to tell. Of course. 100%.
Do you think our kids are going to feel like that, Jamie? Because we don't give our kids that level of respect. We're like, that's your story. I'm writing an essay about it.
I was just talking about this last night with my friends. Like, are they going to hate us?
Well, if they do, it's going to be for like a lot of reasons, not just that.
Right. But so like, our point is we totally respect that decision and we totally understand it. And we second guess ourselves all the time with what is appropriate to share and what is not appropriate to share, I think.
I try to use a filter of, will they be made fun of in high school and middle school for this? Or is it like, I think when they get older, I'll be like, okay, I'm not talking about them.
Yeah.
I reserve the right to change my mind. But so Kate did want to give us some points about what it's like in New Zealand. Will you share those, Jamie?
Yes. So she said that here in New Zealand, it is illegal to pay donors for sperm or egg and surrogates. Instead, they have a super lengthy wait time through fertility clinics, and there are only two companies in the whole of New Zealand.
That stinks.
I know. And government funding is available, but there are strict criteria. Pretty much you have to prove that you are infertile by spending a ton of money there first, which I think we all know that.
Yeah, we've all heard that one. Yep.
So ridiculous. And these processes are very discriminatory toward our LGBTQ folk, as often in order to qualify for funding, you have to have been quote unquote trying to conceive for a set period of time. It's very much like our insurance here. A lot of people's insurance.
That's some crap. I mean, it's just hard. It is just hard across the board sometimes.
We have to be inventive when we make these families. We do. Yes. We have to jump through hoops, but we make them. You know, we're still doing it. We're still making our families, and they're beautiful. God damn it!
There you go.
There it is.
Speaking of beautiful, our publisher came across someone's eBaying our book, Jamie. If How these overs dare could talk they? The things we learned about making an LGBTQ family, somebody is eBaying a promo copy of our book.
I mean, listen, I hope they read it first, whoever
I feel
it is.
Like they read it, they loved it, and then they wanted to share it with the world and make $15.
Maybe. But first of all, it speaks to two things.
What does it speak to?
It speaks to the fact that obviously we're famous now.
And obviously.
Because we're on eBay. Our book is everywhere.
Yeah.
Also that people anything they can get their hands on.
Anything that's not nailed down. By the way, I introduced my son to selling things, and he had some stuff in his room, and I was like, because he always wants online money for Minecraft, and I really limit the amount of money he's allowed for online gaming. And I was like, if you generate selling some of your, you know, he's got all these like Nerf guns and this, like all this crap that he never touches. I'm like, if you start generate selling some of that, that can be online money. And he was like, suddenly just turned into Mr. Wheeling and Dealing. Made $60 on Facebook Marketplace.
Good for him.
Spent it all Facebook Marketplace in a day.
Uh-oh. Don't let that kid start gambling.
All right. Anywho, buy our book, rate and review it on Amazon, Google, Goodreads, what have you.
Yep. Join our Patreon community.
We got a special thank you to our newest Patreon member, Sarah Sheehan. Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah Sheehan. Thank you, Sarah.
Join our Patreon community. Whatever. Let's get to our guest,
Wayne Goodman. Let's talk about Wayne.
He is the host and the producer of Queer Words, and he had us on to talk about our book, and we loved him so much. And in the middle of the interview, he was like, I have a story to tell
and
you about
did
my daughter.
He have a story?
You want to hear it?
Oh my God.
And we were like, we want to hear it.
Yeah, obviously.
So, Helen,
wake up.
Let people hear it. Helen, that was the clue.
You literally have to press a button, Helen. That's it. You
just... And it's like right before the interview, Jamie, I literally sat down with her and said, Helen, I'm going to say, and we want to hear it, and then you're going to roll.
All right, Wayne, let's bring him in.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Jamie and Robin.
Welcome to our ovaries.
It's so That's nice weird. To have you on our over.
Thank you. It's very cozy.
We're flipping the script because we were on Wayne's podcast, Queer Words, a couple weeks ago, and now you're on our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah,
I like
because
this.
It turns out you have an alternative family.
I do. I was blessed nearly 40 years ago.
Oh, wait. We're going into the 30. We're going into the 30-second elevator pitch. You're going to tell us.
Yeah, let's just go into it then. Let's do it. We got to time it, Wayne.
Well, I was responding to Jamie's question.
I know. Well, stop doing that, Wayne, immediately. I'm just kidding.
Don't respond to me ever. No, I'm just kidding.
By the way, just so you know, the difference between us being on your podcast and you being on ours is we interrupt a lot more. Like, we're horrible and awful hosts.
Not a problem. It's your playground. You know, I'm not going to poop in your sand.
Please don't.
Don't poop in our ovaries, please.
Ooh, that could be. That's dangerous. All right. On your mark, get set, go.
Hi, I'm Wayne Goodman. I live in the San Francisco Bay Area, have most of my life with too many cats. I'm a writer of mostly historical fiction with a focus on LGBTQ characters, but I have a daughter by artificial insemination.
Wow, look at that. You just packed a lot into 20 seconds.
That was amazing.
Ooh. Now we have to unpack all that.
I feel like there's a lot to unpack with this daughter with artificial insemination.
Yes.
There is. But before we do that, let's get to the we need to go into this whole daughter situation. But how did this all
this
come
whole
about?
Daughter this, situation? That sounds
this
like,
whole daughter situation.
Like he was like breaking curfew and out drinking.
Goodness. It's a long story, so get
all
ready.
All right, let's do it.
I'm excited to hear it.
Okay, the story really starts on January 31st, 1978.
Whoa.
My parents had divorced, and I moved into a two-bedroom apartment with my mother. And I had to wrestle with coming out to her. And I thought, well, if it's just going to be the two of us, she needs to know this.
Mm. How old were you?
So I was 21.
Oh, okay.
This is ancient history. And I planned to do it on a specific day. And before I could talk to her about it, she says, hey, Wayne, I have some news. Grandma's coming to stay for a month. And I thought, well, I don't want to tell her right now. I don't want to ruin her, potentially ruin the visit with her mother. So grandma came, had a wonderful time, and we took her to the airport on January 31st, 1978. So we got back from the airport, and I said, Mom, do you have some time? I need to talk about something. She says, well, I'm kind of busy, but if it's really important.
Kind of important.
So I said, it is. So we sat down, and I started talking, and her face dropped. And I said, you know, I'm not trying to hurt you. She goes, no, I knew this. Mm-hmm. I figured this out a long time ago. And my best friend helped me to realize that she didn't do anything. It was not her fault. I was going to be this way no matter what happened. Mm-hmm. So she didn't have that guilt about creating a gay son.
She had already processed this by the time you told her.
Exactly. Yes. Oh, her best friend had helped her.
Oh.
So one of the things she said is, well, what about grandchildren? And I said, you never know.
Yeah.
So fast forward, 1982.
Okay.
I'm living in San Francisco, going to San Francisco State, and I'm working part-time at a library. And one day, one of my coworkers says, hey, Wayne, how would you like to be a father? I said, what?
Just out of the blue, how would you like to be a father?
Well, his partner is Dan Curzon, who is a relatively famous writer, groundbreaking gay writer, and he was teaching English at City College, San Francisco. One of his students billed herself as a lesbian midwife, and she arranged sperm donations for lesbians who wanted to have children with gay men as fathers.
Just like on her own, like her own covert operation.
Well, it wasn't covert. She was very out about it. In fact, she stood up in the class and said she was looking for specifically Jewish donors.
Wow.
So the teacher mentioned this at home to his partner, and the partner mentioned it to me because he knew I was Jewish. So I contacted, and I think I'm going to refer to this woman as X.
Okay.
For a reason I'll tell you later. So I contacted X. It is.
And by the way, you can tell you're a writer right now because the way you're weaving this story is very intriguing. I'm very into it.
Oh, no. Thank you. So I contacted X and said, what's the deal? And she explained that she is somebody that's hired by women who want to have children without having the father in the picture, but they prefer to have a gay man as the father because they're lesbians and they figure it'd be easier. So I looked into it, went through the testing, And everything worked out. Now, I didn't know exactly who the mother would be, but I knew about her. And she knew about me. And
can I ask the testing? Can I ask what did the testing entail? Because this is in the 70s. So these are probably very different times.
80s. This is in the 80s.
80s.
This is 82. Well, they wanted a semen sample. Uh-huh.
Yeah, probably just that, not anything they just about.
Maybe they tested like mobility.
Well, yes, they wanted to make sure everything was working. So that all went through, and X gave the information to the woman who was going to be the mother, and she approved, and we signed papers. So I called my mother, and I said, "Hey, Mom, you're going to be a grandmother." Mm-hmm. She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Well, remember when I came out to you? And you asked me, what about grandchildren? And I said, you never know. Well, here it is.
Here it is.
Here's the opportunity that came to me, and I'm able to fulfill your wish." And she was somewhat hesitant, but accepting and went along with it. My father, not so.
Oh.
Vehemently against it. All he saw was the bad. "Well, what if they dump the child on you? Are you prepared for that?" I said, "Well, we've all signed papers that release me from any responsibility. And I don't believe that somebody who's going to this length to have a child is going to abandon it." "Mm. Well, what about this? And what about that?" And all he could come up with was the negative stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Dad, from my point of view, I'm bringing a wanted child into the world.
Yeah.
This is the best thing I can possibly do." He wouldn't come around. Mm. So I made a decision. He wouldn't know anything about his grandchild.
Oh.
And it was like that for many years.
Hey, Robin.
Uh-huh.
I know you've been working really hard to get your body back into fighting shape. I know this about you.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question. What are you doing for your mind?
I mean,
because you know that keeping your body in shape is important, but it's also important to keep your mind sharp, Robin. What have you done for your mind lately? What have
you done? Jamie, don't worry about me. I've been leveling up my focus with Word Forest.
Oh.
Word Forest is my new favorite game. It's a word puzzle app, and it's free, Jamie. You know how much I love free. Mm-hmm. And it keeps me from scrolling mindlessly on the social media, which
I
need.
I know you do that too much. Need this. But listen, I like Word Forest too.
You do?
I do, because the whole family can play. Listen, what's happening is my second grader is playing it, and she loves it, and I love her playing it because it's helping her with her reading and her spelling. It's a win-win.
Oh, my God. I bet you didn't know that Word Forest is an app that's made for word search addicts like myself.
I didn't know you were a word search addict.
I know. I know you didn't know this about me, but you connect letters in any direction to form hidden word matches. It starts easy, but it gets harder as you get better. And let me tell you, I'm really good. So I'm at a super hard level.
I'm really proud of you, Robin. And here's the thing. It has over 2,000 levels, so you're never going to get bored playing. Mm-hmm. I'm on level 7. I've got a long way to go.
Game on, Jamie. Listen, you find as many words as possible to earn bonus coins, to uncover hidden words. I got a lot of bonus coins. I don't want to brag, but I'm keeping my mind sharp and I'm growing my vocabulary.
I have coins too, Robin. I have coins too.
Sure you do, Jamie.
Yeah, but listen, guys, you heard it here. Join us in putting yourself to the test in this fun and addicting brain game. Right now, Word Forest is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. That's a lot.
It is. Just go to Apple or Google Store and search for Word Forest, guys.
Download Word Forest for free today. And get ready to flex your brain muscles like Robin and I have done.
Flex.
The woman who was the mother, whom I will refer to as Jay, she and her partner worked at a large Silicon Valley tech firm at the time. And I thought, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And we made the arrangements. She had tried to conceive through other methods, and none of them worked. But X had very specific ways of determining time of ovulation, which were different from other people.
Hmm.
And all it took was one try.
Wow.
And she was pregnant.
So X was kind of like a miracle worker.
She was like an early RE. Like she was like, you know, setting up protocols. It's interesting.
Yeah. So she said it's traditional for the people to give gifts to each other. And I thought, what do you give? The prospective mother sent me this beautiful crystal. I still have it somewhere. And I think, I can't remember.
Is it shaped like a sperm?
actually, like a tailless sperm. It was a pear-shaped, a teardrop. I think I sent her a scented candle in a...
What does one send after impregnating a new friend?
There's a story about this. Years later, when we all met, Jay's partner, Elle, had a daughter 2 years previous by a donor whom I actually knew.
Oh.
It was funny. We knew each other. We weren't friends, but we knew each other. And I thought that was funny. But when we talked about this gift-giving thing, they never forgave him for his gift, which was a metal steamer basket.
Interesting.
Like the thing you drop in a pot of boiling water to put your vegetables in.
Huh.
It is a little odd.
What was he
thinking? Well, the whole gift-giving thing is weird to begin with. And it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to give somebody.
But you would try to give something that's like,
picture thoughtful. Frame? I mean, like, what's thoughtful? You just gave sperm.
Yeah.
Like, what more do you need to give? I just gave you my genetics. How about that? Yeah. Well, I give you a good Amazon coupon? Like, it's just like, crazy.
So the arrangement was we couldn't know about each other, but we could correspond through X. So for years, we would send letters and things back and forth, and
that's
I knew
really
I had a
weird.
Daughter.
I wonder why X would want to put herself in the middle of all that.
To maintain the semi-anonymity so that the mother didn't have to worry I was going to swoop out of nowhere and steal her child. Yeah,
right. Were there any legal protections put in place? Did you guys sign any papers?
Yes, we signed papers that I had no legal responsibility for the child at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we sent things back and forth. She sent pictures.
So it's kind of like how modern day egg donors relationships are. It's kind of similar because
or like an adoption agency
or adoption, like open adoption or something.
Because that's how adoption agencies like they know before open, like when you would correspond using the agency.
Yeah. So the deal was when the child was old enough to ask who the father was, we would get to meet. And a few years later, I got the notification from X that she was ready to see who daddy was.
Oh, and was Jay partnered up at the time of conception?
Yes, but in a very different way.
Oh.
After my daughter, H, was born, Jay and L split, but we're friendly.
Okay.
So it was a big family thing because Jay ran into an old high school friend who happened to be a man. And they got married.
Oh.
So H was being raised by Jay and her husband.
Now, was L considered one of the parents?
Yes.
Okay.
She was always a secondary mother.
Hmm. So they had joint custody?
You know, I don't know at that time. I'm not privy to that information. Hmm. But when the husband came on board, he asked if he could adopt H.
Oh, that's complicated.
And I said, you didn't need to ask me. But right. I'm thrilled you did.
Yeah.
Right.
I have no problem. He was a wonderful guy.
I wonder if he asked Elle.
Mm, that's an interesting question.
I'm sure. Well, everybody's so friendly. I mean,
and everybody was all a part of this.
Yeah. We would get together and it was all of us. And then Jay and her husband had a child together a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle had another child. By Jay's brother.
Wow.
Whoa.
So
whoa.
We get together and it's this wacky collection of people, some of whom were actually related to each other.
But the brother donated. They didn't actually do it the old fashioned way.
You know, I'm not privy to that information, but I would
Assume they do because it's more fun that way.
But they weren't couple.
Oh, Robin.
They weren't. But basically, she didn't like start dating Jay's brother.
No, she was
still a lesbian.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. As far as we know,
I believe it was a donation.
Wow.
So we'd get together and we'd have all these kids and I said to my daughter, I said, one day you have to write this from your perspective. You're the only one. You've got a sister who's also your niece. And
all of
these relationships, you've got two mothers and a father and a dad. And it's like,
whoa,
it's crazy. So she hasn't yet, but I really wish she would put this all down what it was like from her perspective.
Yeah.
Because Thanksgiving was our big holiday. We'd all get together. And then there was an extended family that grew from that, from friends and neighbors and kids that the kids knew. And that was all so much fun. And then my daughter would stay with us for a couple of days, my partner and I at the time, Well, they transported another family member who had mobility issues back to where she was living. So I didn't get to raise her, mm-hmm. but I did get to spend a lot of time with her in her youth. But then once she hit puberty, it was kind of over.
Really?
We just didn't connect anymore. I would go to the holiday dinners and it was, hello, how are you? That's about it.
Oh, wow. Did you ever talk about that or, you know, like what caused that or?
Oh, okay. So the guy that gave the vegetable steamer, apparently he was a bit too much wanting to be hands-on and they just kept him out of the picture.
Now, this is Elle's first sperm donor.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, very good. You're keeping score, Jamie.
Yeah. Well, I'm not messing around.
And so, and that affected how Jay was as well.
Exactly. So I made a point for myself to say, don't go overboard.
Right.
If they ask me to do something, say yes, but don't ask.
Don't invite yourself.
Exactly. I wouldn't say, hey, can I have H for a couple of days? Right. I would never say that. They would say, oh, look, we have to take the sister. Could you have H overnight? I said, yeah, that's great.
So H stayed overnight when she was little. So you did really spend a good amount of, did she call you dad?
I think I asked her to call me Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so like, how often were you seeing her? Like, were you seeing her once a month, before things went south?
They lived about an hour and a half away. And some of it was really back roady and tough. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like, hey, I'll go see you.
Right.
So a couple times a year,
okay.
I think we would all get together. My favorite memories are of Easter. Now, I'm Jewish, but Easter is Easter.
Sure.
Yes. So what would happen is we would hide the eggs for the kids. The kids would find them. And then the kids would hide the eggs for the adults.
Oh, that's fun.
And they're much better at hiding things than we were. There were so many years that some of the eggs never got found.
Oh, that's funny. If it was my kids, they basically hide them and then bring you over to them and point to them. See where it is? It's right here.
If it was my kids, they would just quit and then go get on screens. So that's fine.
Well, again, this was in the 80s, so different time.
Yeah. Golden era.
We seemed all to enjoy each other. And then something happened. I don't know what it was, but.
So did you talk to H or J or L and ask the moms and be like, do you know?
Nope. Not until she was 18 did I ever engage anyone because I did not want to overstep my bounds.
Right. God, that must have been so hard.
It's a delicate balance.
But I didn't want to lose the relationship I had with my daughter.
Yeah. So you said when puberty hit is kind of when it started to be less communication. Yeah.
Although I did get one of those, mom said this, what do you say calls when she was 16. She wanted to get her navel pierced.
I bet she did.
And her mom said no. And I had sent her like $25 for a gift. And she said, can I use it for that? I don't know.
I'm not gonna ask your mom.
Yeah, exactly.
She put you in a spot there.
Yeah. That's typical 16 right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so you mentioned at 18, it came up. What happened then?
No. I restricted my asking to do things or asking for things until she was 18.
Oh, okay.
Once she was 18, he's like, hey, you want to get together? You want to go do this? No.
She just said no. Oh. How old is she now? Ish.
37.
Oh, yeah, because she was born in 82. So she's
83. She was born in 83. And now she's got two children that are my grandchildren, and I've not met them. Oh.
So it never worked itself out?
No. And it sort of did in a public way. Well, not horribly public, but at the birth of her first child, Jay, the mom, had posted something on Facebook. And I commented, oh, we made great grandchildren together or something along that line.
Yeah.
And I got this very tersely worded message from H about how she acknowledges that I'm her biological father, but that's it.
Wow.
So I wrote back. I took a day. I didn't write back immediately. And I said, I accept what you say. I will respect it. But please understand, I will always be there for you.
Aww.
You just let me know.
Yeah. Hmm.
So luckily, I get to see the kids on Facebook because other family members post it.
Sure.
We're all still friends.
That's heartbreaking, Wayne.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
Do you have like feelings like of regret? Like, do you wish you hadn't done it? Or is there anything?
No.
Right. No, right?
But no, not at all. No, I'm very glad. H is a wonderful person.
Yeah.
Right.
She's amazing. She's been all over the world. She's lived in places I'll never get to.
Yeah.
Accomplished so much. And now she's a mother.
Yeah.
No, I have a lot of admiration for her.
Well, Jamie, it's official. We are officially making Over's Talk babies with our new California Cryobank sponsorship.
I know, literally.
Right?
Literally making babies. We are making babies, for reals. We've heard from a couple of folks that they went to cryobank.com, used our code, which is OCT, and then they have gotten started on their baby-making journey because of us.
I know. I have never been so excited about a sponsorship.
It's so cool. Me either.
And if you're a member of the LGBTQ community, you know that making your family is going to cost a bit. But California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription access for 90 days.
That's worth $145, and it's huge. It gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. It gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays they've written. It's basically everything you need to make that donor decision. It's everything you need.
I love it. And when Mary and I chose our donors, we wanted all the info we could get. We wanted pictures, which you don't get for free. Mm-mm. We wanted to hear from them, which you don't get for free. Everything costs a little something, which we understand. But this code OCT is letting our listeners choose their donor without those extra costs.
It's amazing.
We spend so much time making our families. I'm so happy to be able to help out, right? With the cost for people.
Yeah, seriously. So here's the thing. If you know you want to go the sperm bank route, or even if you don't know, but you want to see what's out there in the banks, this is great for you. Open that account and look around. I mean, you can definitely make your decision in the 90 days that they give you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And California Cryobank maintains the industry's highest quality standards to give clients the best possible opportunity for a safe and successful pregnancy. It's true. I use them. You mm-hmm. use them. Mm-hmm. So many people go to California Cryo. It's great.
And California Cryo has over 400 highly screened donors representing over 90 different ancestries. So if you're ready to start building your family, head over to cryobank.com. You're going to open a free account and use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
That's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com with code OCT. Make those babies and then tell us about it. Tell us.
Yes.
Yes. How about this? Do you still talk to J and L?
Actually, L and I have the best relationship because she is a teacher of literature.
Oh.
And I told her what went on, but I didn't ask her to do anything.
Right.
Jay, I've approached very cautiously because she and H have a much better relationship and I don't want to get in between that.
Yeah. Right.
So mostly it's happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You were able to do the thing you wanted to do, which was help a family and also be a parent. I'm so heartbroken that you weren't able to have more of the relationship that you wanted, I guess, on your behalf. But what I think is so interesting is that you show such restraint and such thoughtfulness. Like, we talk a lot about on this podcast about how intentional we are as parents, and you showed such intentionality, whether H acknowledges or Jay acknowledges it, of putting that child first, even before your own needs or wants.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But that had to be hard. Sorry, I keep saying it, but I'm just like, my heart hurts.
Yeah. Well, as I like to say, I'm karma driven. And I believe that overstepping my bounds will come back to get me in some negative way later.
Hmm. I could use some lessons on that. I'll tell you what.
That's what I was thinking, but I didn't say
that. Shut up, Jamie. You shut up right now.
I do want to say that there were some wonderful times when I brought my daughter to meet my mother.
Oh, that's what I was just going to ask you, if your mother was able to have
it. Oh, she was so happy. And of course, my father had heard vicariously through other family members that this was happening. And I think finally, when she was about 12 or 13, I thought, you know what, this is ridiculous. So I arranged a meeting that we would meet at a restaurant. So it'd be neutral territory. And my father just couldn't be engaged at all. It was like he was meeting somebody else's adopted child.
Yeah.
Just no interest. But the woman he was married to at the time and her two daughters, they were amazing. They just engaged her and talked to her and treated her like family. But my father just couldn't be bothered. And that stuck with me for a long time until my brother and his wife started having children. And my dad was the same way with those kids. He just never found a way to be comfortable with kids.
Mm-hmm. Some people just aren't kid people.
No. And now you're a writer and your books are all kid books, right?
No.
Oh, no, they're not. Not yet. I thought they were.
No, I started out writing for adults and specifically LGBTQ adults because my historical fiction has a focus on queer characters.
That's great. You have a book that just came out, right? Can you tell people about that?
It's Tim Tam and the Space Pirates, Race to the Phantom Moon. The main characters are a set of twins, and I don't disclose their age. I don't even tell you what they look like. They're from a town called Dullsville. And by a trick of fate, they don't have any shared genes. And they each got things that would help them on the journey that the other didn't get. So they have to learn to work together in this alien environment of being aboard a space pirate ship.
Whereas
Timmy got the brains. He's got the smarts. He figures things out. He learns fast. Whereas Tam has street smarts. She's good with people. She knows how to deal with situations. She figures things out really quickly. So the two of them have to work together to advance as a team, even though they still bicker and argue with each other in person.
Oh, that's so fun.
I think that's good for anybody with a sibling.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We tell people where they can get your books?
Yes. All of my books are available everywhere.
Yes.
As paperbacks, they're available as ebooks, and Tim Tam is available as an audiobook on all platforms.
Amazing.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's exciting.
And if you still want a paperback, I suggest going to bookstore.com or going to your local bookstore and ordering it directly to support local businesses.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Yes. I mean, it's like, that's, we had somebody who tell us like, it's not non-traditional, but a new traditional family. And it's like, you guys were ahead of the curve creating a new traditional family.
Oh, absolutely.
This was wonderful.
Oh, really wonderful.
My pleasure.
Oh, Wayne.
What a sweetie.
I just love him. He's so sweet. I mean, really a little bit sad. I want his daughter to come back to him, and I want that all to work out. And I'm sending vibes their way. So maybe they'll hear this, and then it'll bring a reunion. Maybe. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be nice. I do. I want her to.
But
reach
I really
out to
want
him.
That fertility doula lady. Ooh, to tell us her story.
Let's get her,
Lady X, Madam
her?
X.
Where do we? How do
if
we
anybody?
Get her?
If anybody knows let's who she her. Is, send her to us.
Bay Area.
Get us.
She's in the Bay Area. I should ask all my mom's friends. Maybe they know her.
I mean, maybe.
Okay, go get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family.
You can get it at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, check IndieBound.
Mm-hmm. Get the audio book if you want us to read to you at night. Who wouldn't? That's available on Amazon and iTunes.
And don't be afraid to review us on Amazon or Goodreads or Google or, I don't know, at my mom's house. I also want to remind everybody that we have a couple of partnerships with people that we believe in. One is with Mira and one is with BetterHelp. And you can find those on our website. So Mira has a new product and they make this fabulous ovulation and fertility tracker. You're going to get $25 off a starter kit. But also BetterHelp, you're going to get 10% off your first month of online therapy. And that's all at ovariestalk.com.
So go there and get those discounts.
Get it.
We believe in them. And use our promo codes too. But let's keep this conversation going. You can join us on the social. Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, where you're going to see recordings of our live streams that we do every Thursday at 4 p.m. on Facebook, Eastern Time.
Thursdays. And YouTube, Jamie.
And YouTube. Support the podcast, please, and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And don't forget, there you're going to get bonus content. And we drop the episode a day early.
Unedited, gestational carrier level. Yep, and we so want to say thank you to our sponsors, Super Lucky and Generate Life Sciences. And a very, 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 very big thank you to our Patreons. All of you are helping us make this show. We really couldn't do it without you. And we thank you.
We couldn't. We thank you so much.
Oh my God, Jamie.
Yeah.
I guess we should go.
Let's eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.